I want to welcome all of you to the Ash Wednesday service. We will begin with our call to worship, if you would please stand. Yet even now, says the Holy One, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Our first hymn is Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days, number 180. Standing for the prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect forgiveness and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Friends in Christ, we begin today a 40-day journey toward Easter. We enter the Lenten season to prepare ourselves to welcome the risen Christ with lives renewed by the breath of His Spirit. We assume a discipline of self-examination, confession, and penitence. We dedicate ourselves to meditate upon the Scriptures and to converse with God in prayer. We seek to be more faithful disciples of Christ, whose lives are shaped by the one whom we confess to be Lord and Savior of the world. To this end, let us worship God. Our first scripture reading will be read by Sue Briley.
The first scripture reading is from Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 12. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Our second scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 6:10. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we command ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardship, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. May God bless the reading of his holy scriptures. Let us respond to the reading of the scripture you'll find in your bulletin. Cry and God will answer.
Call and the Lord will
If you do away with the yoke, the clenched fist, the wicked word, if you give your bread to the hungry and relief to the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness and your shadows become like noon. The Lord will always guide you, giving you relief in desert places.
Cry, God will answer. Call, the Lord will
gospel reading is coming from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I always like to start with a little bit of information about Ash Wednesday. I get a lot of questions about Ash Wednesday. So Ash Wednesday in the calendar of Western Christianity is the first day of Lent and occurs 46 days before Easter. It is a movable fast, falling on a different date each year because it's dependent on the date of Easter, which is dependent on the lunar calendar. According to the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus spent 40 days fasting in the desert before beginning his public ministry. Ash Wednesday derives its name from the practice of placing ashes on the foreheads of adherents as a sign of mourning and repentance to God. As we enter this Lenten season, in what way do we plan to fast? Or, as we say, what will we give up for Lent? Oftentimes, Christians talk about what they will give up for Lent, and it doesn't always have something to do with food. You may have heard conversation concerning such, or been the one telling others. I've heard people talk about giving up going to the movies, using their cell phones, that never works, giving up television. Or, if it does involve food, you hear soft drinks, chips, candy, in particular chocolate, and on and on. They're going to give up something. Here's something I personally have never heard anyone say they will give up. Things that keep them from going to church, such as golf, baseball, late sleeping, shopping. I've actually had people come up and say, I had to get to the mall and shop before everyone got out of church or they would have bought what I wanted. Now keep in mind, we're just talking about the period from Ash Wednesday to Easter. These aren't things we give up for a lifetime, just for a short period. Just for a short period. By not being willing to give up such things, does it mean that we're somehow lost? Are we lost on our faith journey? If so, how did that happen? Are we receiving mixed signals from the church or from fellow Christians? A man in a hot air balloon realized he was lost. He reduced altitude and spotted a woman below. He descended a bit more and shouted, "Excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him an hour ago, but I don't know where I am." The woman below replied, "You're in a hot air balloon, hovering approximately 30 feet above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude." "You must be an engineer," said the balloonist. "I am," replied the woman. "How did you know?" "Well," answered the balloonist, "everything you told me is technically correct, but I have no idea what to make of your information, and the fact is, I'm still lost. Frankly, you've not been much help at all. If anything, you've delayed my trip." The woman below responded, "You must be in management." "I am," replied the balloonist, "but how did you know?" "Well," said the woman, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise which you have no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact is, you are in exactly the same position you were before we met, but now, somehow it's my fault. Fact is, we can blame anyone we want for not giving more time to God, for not giving up those things that keep us from serving the Lord. But how does that help anyone? How does blaming help anybody? Or how does it help anyone if we give them information they don't understand?" In a sense, I think maybe that's what Jesus was seeing a great deal of in his lifetime. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees that would stand in front of the people, beating their chests, making great displays of their faith. These people were not willing to give up the old ways, and they were confused by the information their parents and elders had passed down to them, and they were especially confused by the information that Jesus gave them. Jesus said, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others." Keep in mind, the Jewish faith had been around for a long, long time. And also keep in mind that their faith practices were passed down from generation to generation. So when Jesus questioned the way they practiced their faith, their reasoning was, "We've always done it this way." Or, if they had insight that what they were doing was wrong, they might say, "It's my parents' fault. They taught me to do it this way." Somehow blaming for not having gained any insight through the years on how to be a better devotee to God. People such as these even made it a point to be seen when they gave to the poor. They stood where all could see that they were helping someone, and at times even had a trumpet blowing to attract attention. "Look, I'm giving them something." It was as though they were going to get an award handed to them right then and there. These people are what we might call self-centered. Have you ever met someone who was self-centered, where the world revolves around them? I know no one here, but do you know anyone outside these walls? It was a cold winter night. The wind was howling and a bone-chilling rain was falling when the telephone rang at the home of a doctor. The man that was calling said his wife needed urgent medical attention. The doctor was very understanding and said, "Sir, I'll be glad to come and see what I can do for your wife, but my car is being repaired. Could you come and get me?" There was indignation on the other end of the phone, and the man angrily shouted, "What, in this weather?" One of the characteristics of someone that is lost is that they are self-centered. Jesus said, "So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so they may be praised by others." Yet again, it is something they were taught to do, something that was passed down through the ages, so naturally, it was all they knew to do. Jesus basically said, "Why the ostentatious display? Why? Why do you desire credit for what you do? So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whether it be giving alms, prayer, something we desire to give up for Lent, our Lord says, do not make an ostentatious display of it, but do it in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And by the way, don't worry if you feel you're not worthy of God's reward. That's not your call. If God does, that's all that counts. And I can assure you, God does. If you give something to someone and no one in the world knows you did it, God does. And God will reward that action. It's like the country church that was having their annual revival meeting. On the first night, the preacher preached a message about repentance and the need to return to the Lord. At the altar call, a man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." The next night, the preacher challenged the congregation with the need to totally surrender their lives to Christ in complete obedience. Again, the altar call was extended. Like the night before, the same man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." The third night of the revival preacher warned his congregation of the evils of sin and urged the congregation to live lives of holiness. Again, as the invitation was made to give one's life to Christ, the same man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." To which someone in the back of the church yelled, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." The truth of the matter is, we all leak from time to time. There is not one of us that is perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are unpleasing to the Lord. It happens. But God loves us. It doesn't mean to make up for it, we have to run outside these doors and hand money to someone or food and say, "Look, look what I'm doing. Isn't this great? I'm making up for what I did." It's not what God requires. God says, if you go out these doors and you do something, I see it. You don't need anyone else's attention. No one else need know, just me. We all lose our way. We tend to lose our first love, or we wade in the pool of lukewarm. No ostentatious displays are needed. God sees everything, even in secret. Our Lord finds us worthy in spite of our shortcomings. May these days leading to Easter be days in which you and God commune with one another in ways that lead to great rewards that only you and He know about. That's what Ash Wednesday is about. That's what these days before Easter are about. Giving ourselves to God in such a way that no one else has to know what we're giving up or what we're doing. But we know, and God knows. And that makes everything all right. We will now continue with our service. From ancient times, Christians have on this day searched their hearts and sought to be cleansed from sin. They have sought reconciliation with God and with one another. They have received ashes marked on their foreheads as a sign of sin's disfigurement and of their own mortality. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Invite you to come up that you may receive the ashes. Okay. Repent and believe in the gospel. 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 Repent and believe in the gospel.
Thank you.
Repent and believe in the gospel. 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 Gotcha. Repent and believe in the gospel. 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 And believe in the gospel. repent 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 and believe in the gospel. We'll turn to your bulletins for the act of penitence and reconciliation. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord.
To you,
hear the good news of God's reconciling love toward all and believe. Through Christ, God chose to reconcile the whole universe, making peace through the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross, to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, through Christ alone. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Our closing hymn will be hymn number 557, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Thank you.
Holy God, through the discipline of these 40 days, make your Spirit's cleansing fire burn within us. Lift us from the dying embers of our inattention. Mark us with the sign of your holy passion. Make us ready to respond to the call of Jesus Christ. Amen. May you go forth this day knowing in the next 40 days before Easter that you're loved and appreciated, and that God will reward you for those things you do in secret. Amen.